We continue with Tshwane Unplugged on Impact 103 FM's Morning Drive. And this morning, I'm joined by Alderman R.V. Erasmus, Section 79 Oversight Committee for Group Finance Services. He was born and bred in Pretoria, so I'm guessing you're a blue ball, right?
Of course, you know.
Okay, all right. Just checking. It would be odd if you weren't, if you were born and bred in Pretoria. And you hold an honours degree in business management from University of Pretoria. BCom accounting, computer science, I'm guessing. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but it is an accounting degree also from UNISA and also a qualified accountant. He's currently serving his third term as a councillor for Freedom Front since 2011. Alderman R.V. Erasmus is one of the youngest councillors ever to be conferred the title of Alderman at the age of 33, and he is passionate about making the city of Tshwane the best metropolitan in South Africa and works hard to ensure that residents receive the service that they deserve. Good morning. Welcome. Thank you so much for being on the Morning Drive.
Brigitte and team, thank you for having me. I must say I am an Impact 103 listener, and for me it's a huge privilege to be here, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Well, we are so looking forward to chatting to you today. Thank you, and it's great to know that we have people that are in the city of Tshwane that listen to Impact Radio, community radio station that is all about serving the people through kingdom principles of that the word of God being. Let's get into business. What is the role and functions of Section 79 Oversight Committee for Group Finance Services in the city of Tshwane?
For us, it's all about financial oversight. So we need to hold the office of the, specifically office of the CFO, we need to hold them accountable. And we do this by managing and implementing controls, financial controls, to ensure there's financial, sound financial management, and with a specific focus on financial due diligence. The committee performs these functions by calling for reports from the office of the CFO, the office of the city manager, and we also perform inspections in loco. Because remember, it's very important, you get a report, it says this and that, but you need to be physically on the ground, you need to verify that what is being said in the report, it's actually happening on the ground. So perhaps I can give the listeners some insight into what it looks like, what is the work that we typically do, and I'll make use of an example. Usually on a monthly basis, we call for reports. We will call for a financial report, almost like a financial management account, with the financial stating what happened in the city for the past quarter or the past month. And then the committee will sit and will analyze the information, will analyze the financial ratios, and then the CFO and his team needs to come and account. Any discrepancies we pick up, we're going to ask you, we're going to ask the CFO or the relevant director to provide us with the information. Now, this is normally done verbally, but if the information that we get is not really sufficient, we'll call for another report to get it in black and white, and then in that report, we'll have mitigating factors, we'll have action plans, and then the committee basically has another opportunity to really scrutinize the report and scrutinize the information. Perhaps another good example, Brigitte, would be the financial recovery plan. We all know the city's finances is under pressure, and as an oversight committee, we really pride ourselves in championing this process of financial recovery. So this is one of the reports we called for. We asked the CFO, listen, bring us your plan. Tell us what you're going to do from the point of view of the administration. And they gave us a plan, a sound financial recovery plan. But for the committee, that's not enough. We need to know who's responsible. We need to know the timelines that are implicated. And that's basically one of the major roles we'll be playing in the next few years. To drive that process, we'll have to see if our report on this on a monthly basis or bi-monthly basis to make it a bit more realistic. And then he has to account. And we monitor this process to ensure that the city's finances is really coming right and on the right level. And then we also have an advisory role that we play to council. Council will sit with a question regarding a financial matter. They'll refer the report or the information to us for us to not only perform oversight on that, but really to provide advice on a way forward. And I think from a coalition point of view, we really want to make use of this committee to ensure that we reach financial resilience and provide this a service that really creates value for our residents and the economy of our great city.
Amazing. That is just a nice way to just give us an oversight and overall understanding about this role that you are playing. Revenue generation in the city, it is hampered, however, by consumer inability to pay for their services due to the prevalence of unemployment and poverty within the municipal boundaries and the negative impact caused by the pandemic. What are the measures that have been put into place to improve the collection rate and the cash in the bank for our local city of Tshwane, as well as reducing the debtors' balance?
Yes, Brigitte and listeners, I think that's a very good question. And just to provide some perspective to our listeners, currently the city has a debtors book of 17 billion rand. And that is quite a lot of money. It has increased over the years. And it's a figure, once you hear it, then your ears start to ring. But with that being said, you know, we need to be proactive and really come to terms with this debtors book and the strategies we need to put in place to really correct this. So, the debtors book currently consists of outstanding debt of businesses, residents, government departments, City of Tshwane employees, and even former councillors. And I think we need to have we've got a holistic plan to deal with this, all these different categories. One of the strategies we've put in place is the Yatima debt collection program and campaign. It was well publicized, and we had a specific focus there on the government departments. You might have seen it on social media. Some of these government departments, national and provincial, they've got the budgets. It's taxpayers' money. They just need to be put back in the system, but they choose not to pay the city. And unfortunately, we cannot allow that. And we really focused in on them, and we cut the power. And that's something that hasn't been done for many years. It made a big impact. I think it sent out the right message that we're not only focusing on residents, but really government departments need to come to the party and they need to pay what is due. And then secondly, of course, you saw Praza and the health department, all of them. And another strategy that we've got in place is we've contracted to have debt collecting agencies. And once some of the listeners hear this, there might be some questions on what are they being paid, what is the process that are being used, isn't it just fruitless and wasteful expenditure? But we've the arrangement we've got with these debt collecting agencies is that they can only get paid if they collect. So if they don't collect any money, we're not going to pay them anything. And that's a good strategy, and it has worked for us, and it is yielding positive results. And I think then from the employees, you know, it's actually bad to think that some of the City of Tshwane employees don't pay their municipal bills, as well as some former councillors, I believe. And we're actually homing in on this from, I think it's now 2 months past, City of Tshwane officials get the monies deducted from the salaries. If they don't pay for the services, it gets deducted immediately. And then maybe it's just something from a political point of view. In our committee, we've actually called for a report, a detailed analysis of each and every councillor. We believe it's more former councillors that are still owing the city's monies. And we've requested the names. So I think that just shows how important this specific matter is. If you owe the city, even if it's just a few rands, and your former councillor or your employee, you need to pay that. You need to do the right thing.
Wow, amazing. One of the public protector's reports on which the residents allegedly say that they've often received exorbitant bills for water and for electricity was revealed that hikes in water and electricity bills in the city of Tshwane were caused by the city's failure to take meter readings regularly. What are the interventions implemented by the city to address the delays in reading of water and electricity meters?
Yes, because this is a very important one. And as a coalition government, once we took office, we immediately knew this is something we need to address immediately. So what we did is we appointed 1,000 meter readers to really alleviate this problem and really correct it. It's not right. It cannot be that way. If meters need to be read, we can't work on estimates. They're not accurate. So that's the first thing we did. And we're very happy to report that in the last few months, we've actually had 80% meters that have been read by someone. But as a caring government and as a coalition government, we really want to provide more interventions, and those interventions should be aligned with the digitization of the city. And what we've done is we've got the E20 platform. It's a very user-friendly type of platform. It's been there for many years. We're really putting it out there. It's the opportunity for a resident to submit readings there. It works quite well, and we haven't really experienced any problems with that. And then secondly, we've also introduced a WhatsApp line, a WhatsApp business line, where you can submit your readings and you can get valuable information as well as a resident. And then, of course, you know, the normal platforms you can make use of. You can email your readings, you can phone in, and you can even make use of the walk-in centers. So yes, we've come a long way. This is something that for us it's a big focus, and it's an important factor, and we really want to work with our residents.
A great measure that has been put in place. Amazing. But there is also an inability or failure of rates being paid and taxes, as it continues to be a prevalent issue amongst the residential holders in the South African municipalities. What is the city doing to provide affordable rates and taxes to the citizens to provide unsubstantiated and unfair increases in the payments of rates and taxes?
Yes, Brigitte, this is a very good question, and I think we at this stage we need to be realistic about what our residents currently facing, and we need to factor in the macroeconomical factors. We know about inflation that is record high, we know the interest rates are quite high, we know the state of the economy, and even the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Many of our residents haven't been able to really recover at this stage, and we need to take that into account. Therefore, you know, we as a caring government, we cannot continue to increase tariffs above inflation, and even with inflationary type of increases, it's not really sustainable. I think we need to take that into account, and it's I suppose it's not an easy problem to solve. There's your Eskom that you need to pay, there's your Rand Water you need to pay, and there's not a lot of room to work with. But with that being said, we need to decrease our expenses. And not only decreasing expenses, but we need to really focus on the structure that we currently have. I want to refer to the procurement of services. We've come a long way, really. We've come a long way, but still we see expensive tenders, expensive contracts, and even expensive general expenses. And therefore, we are in process of reviewing the supply chain management policy to essentially have a focus on absolute value for money. Secondly, one of our biggest expenditures is our payroll. And I want to give some figures to our listeners just to give some perspective. So we've got a payroll in the city of 12 billion a year. Now that equates to 1 billion a month. Now you can think for yourself, if you have to generate income, then you have to, first of all, you have to pay 1 billion to your employees, then you need to pay Eskom another billion, and it really gets a lot of money that needs to be generated. And over the years, previous governments have really inflated the payroll, unrightly so, and therefore we'll move into a process of restructuring. It's a Section 189 restructuring. That's something that needs to happen, and it's something that really can drive the city forward. If you decrease that, you'll decrease your expenses, and tariffs will be adjusted accordingly. And then lastly, Brigitte, as a caring government, we understand that life happens, and we need to be able to respond. And therefore, we've got two programs that we currently have to assist our residents. The first one is the affordability assessment. That is a program where a detailed analysis of a resident's financial position will be taken into account. Once that analysis is done, a payment arrangement will be created that is really that can assist the resident really to come to terms with the payments, that is really from a humanitarian point of view, a way forward. And then, of course, we also have the indigent program for the poorest of the poor. It's a social relief package where our consumers provided with a social package of water and electricity. I think it's in the line of 14 kiloliters a month, and then you'll have an electricity package as well. So we're a caring city. We need to factor all these factors into account, take them into account, and really drive the city forward.
A phrase that you've been saying often, and I'm just catching it all the time, is we are a caring city. And it just shows in the different measures that you are implementing, the policies you are putting into place, the accountability that is also being in place, not only in your department, which is the financial department, financial services that is, but in every department in the city of Tshwane. We are going to continue with this discussion. If you've just tuned into Impact Radio's Morning Drive, I am speaking to Alderman Avi Erasmus, who is Section 79 Oversight Committee for Group Finance Services. And he is giving us an overview as to what they are doing to make sure that the financial standing of our local community, that local government that is, the city of Tshwane, is in good standing. We continue our discussion on the Tshwane Unplugged series. I'm joined by Alderman Avi Erasmus, Section 79 Oversight Committee for Group Finance Services. Last question for you today, Avi, is the laws and regulations governing municipal supply chain management are more often than not intentionally ignored, and they are flouted by the municipality officials, resulting in corruption, fruitlessness, wasteful and unauthorized expenditure, which you mentioned a little bit earlier on in our discussion today. What are the interventions implemented by the city to address this challenge?
Yes, Brigitte, and I think this is for me personally, this is something that's close to my heart and something that I feel that I spend a lot of time on to resolve. And as a coalition government, we've really taken a stance of zero tolerance for transgressions relating to fruitless, wasteful expenditure, as well as fraud and mismanagement in general. And we've really come. It's a big problem. I think we need to be honest about it. But what we've done is we've put in place a few options, a few strategies that holistically will solve this problem sustainably in the future. So number one, we've really instructed the new city manager to open criminal cases against any of those who commit these type of serious offences. We've also re-established the Financial Disciplinary Board. That board specifically deals with cases of fraud within your local government structure, specifically your senior management. They will be followed closely, those cases will be followed closely and dealt with accordingly. We also have the Consequence Management Committee, who deals with middle management that commit these type of types of offences. We've got the fraud line that you can phone. It's an anonymous fraud line to combat fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And then we've also capacitated our internal audit department. It needs to come from within. And we've sponsored millions in rands for forensic investigations and even for the internal staff to really investigate these matters, come to a conclusion, bring that to council, and then really action and really take the next step. And the next step will always be take the report, go to the police, and have the matter resolved. So we've got a very, very strong stance on this. We're also in the process of appointing a new chief audit executive, and we believe this individual will really drive this department and take it to the level that we need to combat this very important matter. But you know, Brigitte, there's a sports psychologist, Henning Gerke. You might have heard about him. He was with the Springboks and the Blue Bulls, of course. And he's got a saying that goes as follows. And he says that culture eats strategy for breakfast. Now, what does that mean? We need to create an environment where ethics and morals is the foundation. If you don't have that, then you can perform forensic investigations, but you'll be chasing your own tail. So we need to create this organizational culture, where we really have a focus on doing the right thing every time and every day. Therefore, the organization that we want to create is one that is transparent and one that keeps its promises.
Well, very well said. As you know, if you do listen to Impact Radio's Tshwane Unplugged series over the last few weeks, I always get Dr. Raj Pillay, who is Group Head Secretariat of Council in the Office of the Speaker, to join us. He is a subject matter expert in audit, risk and governance. He has worked in both the private and public sector. He has had the privilege of serving five mayors and is now the Group Head in the Office of the Speaker, as mentioned. He has completed his PhD in smart cities. Good morning, Raj. Great to have you back on Impact Radio for Tshwane Unplugged series. We've been having these discussions for several weeks now, and I think it's a great opportunity now as we wrap up for 2022, all the discussions that we've had with the various representatives at local governments.
Good morning, Birgitta. Good morning to your listeners. Good morning, Alderman Avi Rasmus. Yes, I think it's been quite an exciting journey over the last 13 weeks. I've just counted now. We've been out here 13 times. 13 weeks. And also, Birgitta, I think if you look around, maybe somebody must do the research. I think this has never been done before in local government. I think a community radio station bringing local government closer to the communities have never been done before. So a big up to Impact Radio and the city of Tshwane. I think we've started off with the speaker coming out and introducing this topic of bringing what we call civic education, bringing government, local government, closer to communities, and also the education process of educating our communities out there, what local government is all about, how do we propose name changes, Leander Yaga. We then moved on to Councillor Sean Wilkinson talking about how do you petition the city. We moved further then, we looked at the chair of chairs role, how he plays a role of chair of chairs and his reporting line. Then came Councillor Peter Mayer, the chairperson of economic development and planning, and how he plans to create an environment of oversight to enhance the city in that front. We are grateful, Birgitta, that we had this opportunity to showcase the city, the coalition partners, the coalition government, and also to ask the listeners out there to continue to support the city, learn about the city, understand how the city operates. And as Alderman Avi articulated earlier, the importance of paying your rates and taxes, the importance of knowing that if you don't pay, the city is going to be left cash strapped. And we are confident that as we move into the second year in the term of office, so another 4 years left, that the city is going to strive, continue to pray for the city, pray for the leaders, that they get wisdom from the Lord to lead the residents of Tshwane and to be accountable. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for an accountable government, a responsible government, and as Avi has said, a government that's caring. And we are confident that during this term of office that we're going to see service delivery. And I think apart from that, Birgitta, you'll agree with me, we need to see accelerated service delivery. So you want to see it happen quicker and not wait a month for a pothole around your community to be addressed, or your grass cutting. Now the rains have come, the grass will start growing. How long will it take? Does it take another month for somebody to come out and cut the grass? So what we call in local government, we call it accelerated service delivery. And we are confident that the city will grow from strength to strength. And we're more than happy, and my office will continue to share this information with Impact Radio, the listeners, and how they can keep in touch with the city and partner. We're looking for partners, private sector companies, to come and partner with the city. We've seen recently, yesterday I think, PPC is partnering with the city. I heard it on the news. So great. And we're encouraging big business out there to continue to grow the economy of the city of Tshwane. We need you. Avi, you'll agree we need big business. We are confident that it will be a different city come end of this term of office. And we want to thank you. And thank you for this opportunity, Birgitta, on behalf of the speaker, the chair of chairs, and all the chairpersons. I would like to express our heartfelt to the radio station to say thank you, and we are there for you, and we will continue to support the residents of Tshwane.
Dr. Raj Pillay, we really appreciate you giving us this update. And when I was initially, what was told to me that we are going to be doing this Tshwane Unplugged series, I was told we're going to be educating the people of the city of Tshwane, we're going to be informing them, we're going to be showing them that there are solutions in place. And for me, what has really just stood out is, besides the fact that there is accountability now in place and processes and things are happening, even though you say it is a bit slow, the plan is to accelerate that service delivery. But for me, what's really stood out is the fact that there are so many God-fearing leaders in our local government. They are not just saying they are Christians, they walk the talk, and they really are going to God for the for insight, for strategy, to know what do we need to do, how do we go about tackling an issue or issues in our city. And it's just something that has really stood out, also with the fact that it is a coalition. Sometimes you think a coalition will weaken local government, but it seems in this case that the coalition government has actually strengthened the city of Tshwane. So great to have you. Thank you so much for the last 13 weeks on Impact 103 FM for the Tshwane Unplugged series.